Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go to our callers, I want to deal with an issue that I have addressed in my Creation Answer book, and that is a sharp point of contention between young earth and progressive creationists, the contention being death before Adam. Young earth creationists maintain that all death, including animal death, is a function of the fall. Progressive creationists, however, believe that carnivorous creatures and natural catastrophes existed prior to the sin of Adam as part and parcel of God's, what they would call, very good creation. I would say, in distinction to both those points, that my view is the rift is unnecessary. And the reason for that is there is a false assumption that underlies the debate, and that false assumption is that Adam's sin necessarily precedes the advent of all evil. Of course, we're now here excluding the rebellion of Satan. And therefore, young earthers are constrained to reject what you find in the book of nature with respect to dating. But on the other hand, you have progressive creationists who feel compelled to reinterpret biblical passages that speak of natural evil as a direct consequence of human sin. Passages such as Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But again, I would say that orthodoxy demands faithfulness to truth in both general and special revelation. You can't take one or the other. Both are necessary. So an orthodox understanding of the Creator of all things is that He acts transtemporally. In other words, He acts across time in all of His creation. Thus, the cross of Christ can retroactively atone for Adam's sin, just as it proactively atones for the sin of Adam's yet unborn descendants. There's little difficulty conceiving of a transcendent God who predestines natural evil to precede the fall, even though the fall is the necessary cause of the evils that precede it. So while it is natural for human beings to see time's arrow from a forward perspective, I think we do well to recognize that God's infallible truth is not always presented in chronological fashion. The advent of the last Adam not only atones for sin thousands of years after the event, but the last Adam, Jesus, is biblically portrayed as the Lamb slain from the creation of the world. The short, concise way of putting this is that God's purposes are presented in both chronological as well as chirological fashion. In other words, we see events reported in the order in which they happened, and we see events recorded according to their purpose and significance. So again, I think there's a rift in the Christian community that is unnecessary if we consider kairos as opposed to merely elevating chronos. Both are necessary, and both are accounted for in the biblical text. And again, we must do justice to God's infallible repository of redemptive revelation, the Bible, but also do justice to correctly reading the book of nature or that which he has created, or put another way, general revelation. I've dealt with this in the Creation Answer book, Answers to the Most Common and Controversial Questions About Creation. Again, when we talk about the issue of origins, we're talking about not an apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue. Do remember, as we approach the end of our fiscal year, which is June 30, we need your support tangibly now more than ever. I think it's very important for a ministry that stands for truth, no matter what the cost, to have those that stand with this ministry, both prayerfully and financially. And you could do that, again, online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And then via the phone, 888-7000 and letter CRI, and we'll go right to the phone callers. First up is Lisa, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I have a question, obviously. My Sunday school class has just started a study, and it's Discovering God's Will for Your Life. And we're talking about the potter and the clay, and it references Romans 9:18-23. And it talked about, in the New Living, it refers to the jar, one jar being for decoration and another to throw garbage into. Or in the King James, it talks about the vessel being for honor or another for dishonor. And so I'm just trying to, I understand God sees the whole picture, but when you're trying to understand how we can still witness to people and everybody's, Christ died for all man's sin, but how does that go along with the fact that God's made them some for, as it said, a decoration, and then some to throw garbage into?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. First is an issue of how you read the Bible. And this is really critical to recognize that the New Testament writers are assuming that you have a working knowledge of the Old Testament. So Paul in Romans, as elsewhere in the New Testament, and remember he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, he oftentimes quotes from the Old Testament, but he doesn't quote the entirety of the Old Testament passages, but just a portion of those passages, recognizing that you already in your mind have the remainder of the information in view. So with respect to the potter, there are passages in the Old Testament, including Isaiah 29 and Jeremiah 18, from which Paul is drawing. And when you read those passages, you recognize immediately that the potter is not, as it were, saying, I'm the potter, you're the clay, and therefore I can do anything I want. I can make you as a vessel for rubbish, and I can make you a vessel for noble purposes. Why? Because, again, I'm God. No, God can't do everything. God cannot act in a way that is not in accord with his nature. God cannot lie. God cannot create a one-sided triangle. So God can do that which is morally possible and that which is logically possible, but he can't do everything. He can't act in a way that is inconsistent with who he is. Now, taking that view, we can look at the Old Testament passages and recognize that there's a reason that vessels are created for noble purposes, and there is likewise a reason that vessels are created for ignoble purposes. And that reason is that the vessels created for noble purposes respond in obedience. The vessels that are created for ignoble purposes respond in disobedience. So far from this being a passage by which we can say God is capricious, or variously take the next step and say, well, if that's the case, then there's no part that I have to play whatsoever, so why witness? Far from that, we recognize that we have been given a mandate, and that is to spread the good news. The Holy Spirit woos the world by his Spirit, and those who are being wooed can either reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit or receive the wooing of the Holy Spirit and as such be regenerated and changed such that they come into a loving relationship with God. One other point that I think is significant, and that is you have to, when you read passages like Romans chapter 9 through Romans chapter 11, you want to ask what question is Paul addressing? Because if you get that wrong to begin with, then all that is foisted onto the text as opposed to extracted from the text may be rooted in your mind incorrectly.
Okay. Well, I feel so much better. Well, thank you so much, because I know we're supposed to spread the gospel, and I know God loves each and every one of us. So I so appreciate that.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Just as the value of vaccines increases during the outbreak of a deadly disease, when assaults on our faith and freedoms mount, the outreaches of CRI become even more critical. That in turn makes believers like you, those who are willing to stand up and speak up, all the more crucial. Very simply, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that CRI does that would be possible without partners like you. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical, but we need people willing to stand for truth along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit us at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go back to our callers. Next up is Tina, listening in Bellevue, Nebraska. Hi, Tina.
Hi. My question was, I was looking at some reviews for your book, Has God Spoken, and I noticed that one of the reviewers was mentioning that they thought that your book was, that you were arrogant. And I have a friend who recently fell away from the faith. She's now agnostic. And my thoughts are, how are Christians seeming arrogant when they are so firm on their faith, if that's the way it is? You either believe or you don't.
Well, I think there's a difference between being firm in the faith and being arrogant, and I think it's a distinction with a difference. We are called to do what we do with gentleness and with respect, but we are called, and the Bible's clear on this, we are called to correct, to rebuke with great patience and careful instruction. So I think there is an attack on the Word of God, and when you counter the attack, it is sometimes perceived as arrogance. For example, you have Bart Ehrman, who is a professor who is quite proud of the fact that Christian students come into his classroom, and he believes that virtually every one of them is shaken in their faith by the time they end listening to his instruction. But the reality is, when you look at his arguments, the arguments hold very little water. There are a lot of bravado, but very little substance. Now, in pointing that out in the book, it may seem arrogant in answering the question, but that's not where we should be. We should not be in a state of arrogance, but a firm rebuttal of those who are shaking the faith of those who are not grounded oftentimes. But I think it's critical that that is done with gentleness and with respect. And I certainly hope that I model that in my writing and on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I think the tone is the same. It's not the only thing to do to answer a question, but it is as important, I think, to model how we should engage in communication with other people. Now, we don't always do that perfectly. I certainly don't. I'm an imperfect, I'm a flawed person, and there are times in which you're tired or maybe a little aggravated, or who knows, the human condition is the human condition. But we should seek that the balance of what we provide is done with gentleness and meekness and reverence. And I will tell you something, the more you learn, the less opportunity you have to be arrogant in reality, because the more you learn, the more you realize how little you know with perspective to all that can be known. So it actually fosters a sense of humility in the person.
That's good to know, because I've been responding to a friend who, you know, she decided that now she's agnostic, and we've been very close. And as I speak to her, it's hard for me to, you know, sit there and smile and be like, oh, okay, your faith is wonderful. I'm sorry, I do not agree with that. It may make me seem arrogant to be so firm, but that is where I am at. And that's kind of what I was thinking about when I read the review, is I wonder what Hank thought and how he would, you know, encounter someone who thought that they were arrogant for being firm in their faith.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Well, you got it, and you raise a very important point. I think the real issue is not to win arguments, but to win people, and you do that with gentleness and with respect.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bless you, Tina. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone calls. We'll talk next to Kevin in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Kevin.
My question, Hank, is about the passage of Scripture dealing with the money changers.
Yes.
Which obviously displeased Jesus. And he talked about them turning the temple into a den of thieves. My question is how that relates to today. And what made me think about that is I know a person in my church, which is a very sound biblically church, but this person was approached twice. And this is a spiritually young Christian. They were approached twice about, as you know, there are many multi-level marketing businesses out there today. This person was approached twice during the worship hour about a multi-level marketing opportunity. And there was no mention about how they were doing spiritually or any prayer requests or anything like that. It didn't have anything to do with what we should have been there for. So my question is, how does that relate in any way to that passage of Scripture, or was he dealing with what they were doing or their motives behind what they're doing?
Well, no, I mean, I think there's an application. I think there's a historical context, and we have to take that seriously. I mean, something's going on in that you have the people who are the teachers of the law and have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, and that he is actually the temple in their midst. But they want their traditions, and they want their livelihoods and all the things that go with it, and they don't want to give that up for a new order of things, which is to say the temple no longer has any meaning. Temple, priest, and sacrifice are null and void when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. But they want to sell their doves, and they want to sell all the accoutrements of temple, priest, and sacrifice. They want to keep their gig going. So in that sense, there's a principle that applies today. In a broad sense, here's what's going on. What happens with those who are really followers of Christ is that they take up their cross and they daily follow him. They're not following the master because of what is on the master's table, but they're following the master because they genuinely love the master. And as a result of that, that passion, that conviction, that living for eternity, they were able to turn a world upside down. What happened when the world got turned upside down, however, is in the end, Rome was Christianized. When it became Christianized, it became popular to be in church. I mean, it was good for business. So now people started coming to church for all the wrong reasons. Again, it wasn't because they wanted to be a part, a vital reproducing member within the context of the body of Christ, but rather this became an opportunity to work for those things that are temporary as opposed to working for those things that are eternal. Now, there's nothing wrong with capitalism. I think that capitalism is actually something that is derived through biblical principles, at least Christian capitalism, when we're speaking about responsibility associated with wealth. But when you described what you described, the sense that you described is that a person comes into the church, it comes into a sense of a time that is supposed to be designed for intimacy with God and intimacy with God's people, but instead of intimacy with God's people, the person seems to have a motive, at least as you describe it, for making merchandise of God's people. And in that sense, I think there's a parallel between the circumstance that you describe and what you see in the Word of God. We have to be careful, however, when we judge people's motives. And the reason I say that is, unlike Jesus, who could look at Judas and say, "You are a devil," because he was able to look beyond the externality and see the heart of Judas, we can't do that. So we don't want to be rash in our judgments of other people. But in terms of the general principle, yes, there's an application and there's a parallel here.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I was just wondering, I know people and I know that their motives were probably pure. It's probably just something that hasn't been addressed. And should it be addressed through an individual like myself, or should that be addressed through the leadership of the church?
Well, I think that if you know the person, you might want to address this with gentleness and with respect. And when you say pure motives, by the way, that's kind of a tricky area to communicate about, because we all work out of a mixed bag of motives. That's because we're all sinners. And so I remember a discussion many years ago that was a corrective to me that I've never forgotten. I was describing a circumstance to a very wise woman. I was sitting in the back of the car explaining a circumstance to her and her husband. And in that process, I said, "You know, my motives were pure and blah, blah, blah." And she turned around and looked at me and said, "We all work out of a mixed bag of motives," and I have never forgotten that to this day. And, you know, in a sense, there's a certain, you know, you can take a breath when you hear that, because you realize I'm an imperfect person. And therefore, the reason I bring that up is you're going to be an imperfect person speaking to another imperfect person, so you don't want to look down their nose at them and talk to them as though you're the good guy, they're the bad guy. No, you want to come to them with meekness and reverence and yet give them a corrective with that sense of humility.
Right, right. Okay, well, that helps. I appreciate it.
You got it. Hey, thank you so much for your call. And, of course, we appreciate everyone, not only that calls on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but those behind the scenes that may have never called, but stand with us prayerfully and financially. It is as a result of what you do that we can do what we do. So it's a team effort. And we're reminded of that each and every June because we come to an accounting of things. At the end of June, it's the end of our fiscal year. We have to look at where we are in terms of ministry provided around the world, but also in terms of resources that support the work of ministry. The gospel is free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. And we do have a significant shortfall as we're approaching the end of our fiscal year. And the only way we can rectify that is by the generosity of God's people. So if you can give, please give generously. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.